The Redeemed Life Radio broadcast is a ministry of Redeemed Church, now meeting at Groove Nation Performing Arts Center, 3000 Columbia House Boulevard in Vancouver, Washington. Come experience Redeemed Church live this Sunday at 10:30.
Give thanks to God, for He is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Those He redeemed from the hand of the foe. Those He has gathered from every land. We testify to the work of His hand.
Hi, I'm Steve Livengood. My wife Shelley and I welcome you to the Redeemed Life Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Redeemed Church in Vancouver, Washington. The purpose of this radio broadcast is to bless you and build you up in your faith in Jesus. Now let's get right into this week's message. Radio Church, it's Pastor Steve. God bless you. Thanks so much for listening. I want to dedicate the entire month of November to being a month of thanksgiving and praise to God. Somebody just say, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You know, it's been such a challenging year, but the overcomer lives on the inside of us if we're born again. Amen. And I want to dedicate this entire month to just praising the Lord for His breakthroughs. Specifically, this month, we want to be believing God for financial breakthroughs for you. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8 says this, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work." Amen. And I want to have my wife, Shelley, share with you over the next few weeks, in fact, the entire month, of November, every Sunday, she's going to be sharing with you some tremendous insights, biblical principles of prosperity. Amen. She teaches at our church every Sunday morning during the offering, and it's so marvelous to hear. She's such a wonderful Bible teacher and excels at biblical finances. So get ready to be blessed, and let's believe God for supernatural financial breakthroughs. Take it away, Pastor Shelley.
So are you enjoying church so far? Well, it's tithes and offerings time, so you're really going to like this. We have a couple of things before we go to tithes and offerings. Out in our commons area now, you will be able to see the kids have a program that we do. For every 100 books of the Bible that they read, they get an award and a prize. And we have a lot of first-timers that have been up there. You'll see some of the younger kids' names on there. It's because an adult has been reading to them the Bible. So even if they can't read, it's being read to them. So we have our first second timer. That means that he has not only read 100 chapters of the Bible one time, he has read 100 chapters of the Bible a second time. And Lane, will you please come up here? I'm a little extra proud today because it's my own son. There you go. Thank you. He is on a mission. He has been reading on one of the reading logs back there, and he came to me and goes, "Mom, you better get ready because I'm almost halfway through the next one." He is just rolling. So it's really exciting as a parent, and when you realize how powerful God's word is, it makes it even more exciting to see our kids so on fire. I mean, that's a long list out there. I encourage you to look at it. It's a long list of our kids that have already read 100 chapters of the Bible. So keep going, parents and kids. Woohoo! And then we got two thank yous, one from Romania and one from Japan for our recent gifts that we gave to them. We give all of our missionary kids a Christmas box. Some of them took a lot longer to get there this year. Whew! It was 2 months for Romania, and I thought I sent it early. So anyway, if you want to read these afterwards, you're more than welcome to. We just like to share with you when they have thanked us for stuff. So, what? I got a lot to do in tithes and offerings. I'll put it out. They can read it. You can't steal my tithes and offerings today. Okay, I am excited about tithes and offerings. This has been such an incredible series that the Lord has been giving me, and we'll go through a review really quick. So in Ezra 10:4, the Lord commanded us to what? Good. Let's say it again. What? Rise up. And in whose hands did he put it? Our hands, right? That's what we discovered in Ezra 10:4. And we went through, and the word up stands for different things. And each week we've done something different. And we started with Abraham. My mind is just like spinning because last night I was going over this when I was getting ready for bed. You know, sometimes something's stuck in your head. All of a sudden the Lord started showing me this and this and this and this, how they're all connected. I thought, oh my word, can I share it? He's like, not yet. I'm like, okay, okay. So when I look at these words, these names, it's like my mind's going, woo, woo. It's really good, you guys. Really good. I mean, yeah, it's amazing. So we started with Abraham with unlimited possibilities. What did he show him as an example of what his kids would be? What? Say it out loud. The stars, right? He said, if you can count all these, then you can count all the possibilities. We can't count them, right? So it's innumerable how many possibilities that you have in your life for financial breakthrough, right? Then we went to Joseph, unending potential. We watched how Joseph had what? What did he have first? A dream. He had a dream, and then he never gave up, right, on that dream. Did he grow bitter and cold? No. Unending potential. That's what God sees in you. I don't care what your family told you. I don't care what the world tells you. You have unending potential in you. You are not limited by your status at your job. You're not limited by male or female. You're not limited by your race or your color. With God, there is unending potential. And then last week, well, that was exciting last week. Were you excited last week? That was like, woo! We went to Ezekiel. And for those of you who don't know, in Ezekiel, it's called the Valley of Dry Bones. And we read how, what did he have Ezekiel do? What did you say? Prophesy. Speak to those dry bones. And what happened to them? They created an army, right? He showed us through that we're supposed to speak to our finances. We are supposed to speak to our finances, right? Well, hold on. Here comes this week. Can someone click one for me? Someone? Anyone? Is it up here? Oh, there we go. Thank you. Okay, so these things move around. I apologize. This week is Peter and a widow. Now, if you want to turn to Matthew 17, we'll start with Peter. Everybody say, I'm excited. You got some good stuff today. Okay, Matthew 17. I went way past it because I'm so excited. Okay, Matthew 17, verse 24. Matthew 17, verse 24. First of all, do you know who Matthew is that wrote this? What did he do? Thank you, Roy. Ray. I say Roy. Ray, thank you. He was a tax collector. You don't find this story anywhere else in the Gospels. But it was important to him because he dealt with money. And in specific, he dealt with taxes. He was a tax guy. He got this, right? Verse 24. When they had come to Capernaum, those who received the temple tax came to Peter and said, does your teacher not pay the temple tax? And he said, yes. And when he had come into the house, Jesus anticipated him. Have you ever wondered why the Lord has an answer for you even before you ask him? Or you're thinking about something and the pastor says something in his mouth and you're like, whoa. God is anticipating you. Sorry. Oh, I'm choked up this morning. He was anticipating him, and he said, what do you think is oh, my word. What do you think, Simon? From whom do the kings of the earth take customs or taxes? From their sons or from strangers? And Peter said to him, from strangers. And Jesus said to him, then the sons are free. Nevertheless, lest we offend them, go to the sea, cast in a hook, take out the first fish that comes out, and when you open its mouth, you will find a piece of money. Take that and give it to them for me and for you. Now, I don't know about you, but the last time I went to go get money, I didn't go fishing and take it out of a fish's mouth. Has anybody else done that they know of? Okay, so this is not normal, right? This is not normal. This is extraordinary. Extraordinary. Because God is not limited. Say, God is not limited. Say it again. Say it again. God is not limited by the ways that we know. What did Peter do before he came to Jesus? He was a fisherman, right? So what did God do? I love it. He takes him back to the first thing that he knows, and he says, go fishing. And when you find that fish, open his mouth, and inside will be a corn for you and me. And you know in Peter's mind, he's thinking, dear Lord, I've fished my whole life. I have never seen it done this way. Right? Because sometimes God's like, he has a little bit of a sense of humor. And he's like, watch this. Watch what I can do. Because like we're going to learn in our class today at the Kids About Love, sometimes we put God in a box. He can only do it this way. He can only provide for me through my work. He can only provide for me through this avenue or this avenue or this avenue. Shake your head. No. God has multiple resources. But who had to go fishing? Peter. Not Jesus. Peter. Now, flip to the Old Testament. 2 Kings 4. You're like, yeah, that's one time that it happened. Just once. Well, let's go to 2 Kings 4. Say, God's not limited. Now I'm gonna briefly go through this one here because it's a longer one. But there was a woman of a prophet who was married to a prophet that had died who came to 2 Kings 4. They came to Elisha and she said to him, you have to help me. My servant is dead and they're about ready to come and take my sons away because my husband had so much debt. Whose debt was it? Was her husband around anymore? So who did it fall on? Her. She was carrying someone else's burden. How many of you in this room have ever carried someone else's burden? Not your responsibility, not your weight, but it got put on you. If you're that person today, you need to listen up because this is for you. This is what he told her. He said, what shall I do for you? And he says, tell me, what do you have in your house? And she said, your maidservant has nothing in the house but one jar of oil. How many times you felt like all you had is one little thing in your house? One little thing. Listen to what he says to her. Go. Borrow every vessel from everywhere, from your neighbors, empty vessels, and do not just gather a few. Because sometimes what we do in our limited thinking is we limit God, not just that he can bless us, but how much he can bless us. And the prophet is telling her, do not just go out and gather a couple things. He's saying, get a lot, a lot, a lot, a lot. Borrow from everyone, everyone you can find. Borrow a vessel. He tells her, when you have come in, shut the door behind you and your sons. Why? Because we don't need any unbelief happening here. This is a supernatural thing. We need all people involved to have faith. Shut the door, then pour it into all those vessels. How many vessels? All. How many jars did she start with? One. We're talking vessels. Jars in those days were normally small. He asked for vessels. Vessels are more like big things, pots. So we have a little thing to a pot. And it's not just one pot. It's probably hundreds of pots, right? Does this make sense to anybody? When was the last time you went to your cabinet and you took out your measuring cup for your cookies and you poured and you poured and you poured? And you poured, and the cups kept multiplying. Hasn't happened for me yet. Any of you? Does this normally happen this way? No. This is so exciting. Verse 7. Then she came and told the man of God. She finally finished, and she asked for another vessel, and her son said, we're done. They're all full. She came to the man of God and told him. Now listen to this. Before she did anything with the full pots, she went back to the source and said, what's next? So often when God fills your pots with finances, you don't ask him what to do with them. She had wisdom to know what to do with the pots. And he said to her, go sell the oil, pay your debt, and you and your sons live on the rest. What did she have to do first? Sell the oil and then get rid of the debt, right? Okay, now I could keep going and going and going. There is story after story. There's Elijah who's at a brook. How does God provide his meal? A bird. When was the last time a bird brought you dinner? Right? Yeah, you shot him. Okay, well, all right, I'll give you that one. Had to be a wise guy. No. Can you click one more time? Unusual provision. I got so excited because when the Lord said unusual, I'm like, that's just a common everyday word, Lord. But it's like, you know, the other ones have been kind of spectacular. He said, look it up. Listen to what unusual means. Not habitually or commonly occurring or done. Remarkable. Interesting because it's different from or better than others. Woo! I want remarkable. I want different from others. I want something that doesn't happen the same way every single time. That is your God. Today he's telling us to rise up and start looking for unusual provision. There was a statement that a pastor that we used to go to church said, and I want you to listen. Don't limit, it's a fist. Don't limit what God can do, how God can do it, when God can do it, who God can do it through, and who God can do it for. I'm going to say that again. Don't limit what God can do, how God can do it, when God can do it, who God can do it through, and who God can do it for. Don't limit God. You're like, oh, Shelly, those are old stories in the Bible. You know what? God's still doing it today. We went to church with a pastor a couple years ago. And his wife was telling me the story how her mother had gotten really ill. And they had to put her into a care facility. And they were limited in their what they had. He was a pastor. And I think she might have worked a nursing job part-time. But they were limited. And this facility was expensive. And they were praying about it. And she kept hearing the Lord say, I'll provide. I'll provide. I'll provide. And she's looking at all the natural thinking, I don't know how, but you say you're going to do it, I'll trust you. So they get ready to put her mom in this care facility. There's still no money. She was an only child, and this family had an oil well in North Dakota. For a couple of years, 30, 40 years ago, it had produced. But since then, it had been dry. The week she went to put her mom into the care facility, she found a check from the oil company. They said, for some reason, your oil well is producing again. It was the exact amount they needed for her mom for that month. Every month until her mom passed away, the oil well produced exactly the amount her mom needed to pay for her mom's facility. I think she said it was the week or 2 weeks after her mom passed away. They sent a letter and said, we're sorry to tell you your well has gone dry again. But she said, God moved through an avenue I had forgot even existed in my life. It had been so many years since that thing had produced. She said, but it showed me God is able. Say it with me. God is able. And maybe you're sitting there and you're thinking, well, I don't have an oil well in my life. I don't have this. I don't have that. Unusual provision. Remarkable. Different from any other. That is your God and his ability in your life. Woo! I don't know how you can sit there. I'm just freaking out every time I go to do this lesson, every week. Because I feel like God is saying, We're not just rising up to the everyday humdrum we've had before. No, we are rising up into something spectacular. If we will do our part, whose hands is it in? Our hands. And I'll tell you one that's even more spectacular. I heard a pastor give this testimony. There was a lady and her daughter, single mom, very limited provision. And her daughter had gone to school or to Sunday school and heard the story of Peter and the fish. And she came home to her mom and she said, "Mom, I have the answer. All we have to do is go buy a fish. And God will provide." Childlike faith. And the mom, not wanting to break her child's heart, said, "Well, honey, that doesn't work for everybody." And she said, no, mommy, I know that this is us. We just got to go buy a fish." So the mom, wanting to go along with the daughter, went down to the local market. It was some kind of like flea market kind of thing. They lived near an ocean, so that was like fresh fish. They went down, they bought a fish, they wrapped it up for her, gave it to the mom, they took it home. The little girl opened the mouth, and there was no money. And she said, "But mommy, I just knew that I knew that I knew it had to do with this fish." And her mommy said, "But you know what? I know God will be faithful." As they were cleaning up the paper, it was a newspaper that they had wrapped the fish in. And an article with the woman's name across the top said, "We're looking for you," with a number. Call this number. A relative had passed away years before, and they had been trying to track down this woman. And she inherited this extraordinary amount of money. You see what I'm saying? It's still the same today. God can take your finances like that oil with the widow, and it can keep coming and coming and coming and coming and coming and coming and coming, and you don't even understand. You can't even fathom it, how the money's still there and the bills are getting paid. How can this be? Unusual provision. That's our God. Our part, rise up. Rise up. It's in your hands today. You're like, "Well, what do I do?" Give your tithes. Be obedient when he asks you to do something. And then look. Look for the ways that God is going to provide. Don't get up and say, "Okay, well, I'm limited by my job today." No. Get up and say, "Okay, God, where's it coming from today? The mailbox, the fish, the oil, where's it coming from? You have a plan, and I know it's coming because I'm a tither and I'm a giver, and you said, pressed down, shaken, and running over, you're going to give them to me. That the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous, and I am righteousness because of you." Woo! I don't know, guys. I am just so fired up about what God is doing. And it gets even bigger than this when I explain to you the next step that God, it's amazing. He told me there's a couple more things for the U and the P, but then when we put it all together, it is going to literally knock your socks off. God is so good. Grab your tithes and offerings. Whew. Father, we just thank you for your word that is alive and active. Yes, Father, we thank you that we are rising up. We are rising up in Jesus' name. We are taking our position. We got our hands ready to do whatever it is you're asking us to do. We are taking off the limits, and we are saying we have unlimited possibilities. We thank you, Father. Unending potential. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to start doing things, waking up dry bones and things that have been dead for years, whether they're oil wells or whether it's stocks or bonds or maybe it was a spiritual investment that we made years ago when we gave a tithe or an offering or a gift. We never saw that return. It's coming. It's coming in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, not so that we can just hoard it all up. Yes, you desire to give us good things. I believe every person in this church that is a tither and a giver is going to have good things. But those things are not going to have us. We're going to be a vessel that you can flow through, Father, to give to every good work. We thank you, Father, that we will be able to reach the world and this country, this city. We thank you, Father, not one person missed, because we are willing to say we will stand in the gap. We will rise up. We will take the finances that you bless us with, and we will do what you've asked us to do with it. We thank you, Father, for anointing every seed that is sown today. 100-fold harvest, God. I pray for testimonies even this week, doesn't matter how small or how great, that people are going to see unusual provision. Remarkable things happen in Jesus' week. This week, Satan, I bind you right now from those thoughts of, nah, not me, not me. No, 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 no. Every one of you should be saying, it's me. It's me. I'm the one. I'm the one. Over here, Lord. I'm the one. I'm the one. Let it be me. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Father. We're going to go out of here, and this word is going to begin just rattling and rolling around in us, Father, that we're going to begin looking, just looking. What, God, is it coming this way? Is it coming this way? This way? This way? Unlimited, God. You are not limited. We just praise you and we thank you for this word that you've been giving us, a timely word for this year, that this is going to be the greatest year we've ever experienced in our finances, ever, for this church. We thank you and we praise you for it in Jesus' name. I want a big shout. Amen. Woo! God is so good.
Thank you so much for joining us for the Redeemed Life Radio broadcast. Check us out on the web at redeemed-church.org. You can hear many free full messages there and get info on service time and location. You can also correspond with us by mail at P.O. Box 1248, Washougal, Washington 98671. Until next week, this is Steve Livengood reminding you to keep looking up. Jesus is coming soon.